wasn't Noah, but God himself. So the ark could not fail because God was in it. So never be afraid to try something new if God is in it, because if he's with you, you can't fail. And actually, Christ is our ark of safety. If you are in Christ today, you will come through the storms of life, no matter what they are. It might be not too smooth at times, but you will make it. God is faithful. His promises are true. Had God promised that everything would be easy after you were saved, I think we'd have a lot to worry about, because I think everyone knows that this life is very hard at times. The hurts and the heartaches that we have are hard to endure sometimes. But God has made the promise that he will take us through it, and in that we have strength. So in John 14:1, Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you." So he says there, do not let your heart be troubled. That's one of the things for me that God says that are a lot easier said than done. And he gives us the answer right there. He says, believe in God and believe also in me. So how can we not let our heart be troubled in these perilous times? The answer is faith. If you believe God's promises and believe in Jesus and believe in the Father, then you can make it through these hard times. So in John 16:33, he spoke to the disciples and said, "In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." Charles Stanley said this about that verse: as Jesus stood ready to face the cross and defeat the last foe, death, he encouraged the disciples to always have confidence in his ability to lead them to triumph, which was proven at the resurrection. Although it may feel as if your every desire and security has been destroyed, your true hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, can display his resurrection power in your situation as well. And when he does, you will certainly not be disappointed. So our theme today is faithfulness. So I thought I would share a little story with you about my life. In 1995, I moved up here out of Fresno and wanted to live in the mountains, my dream. And I had some nice property up in the pines. And they certified the well at like 5 gallons a minute when I bought the place. I bought it in February or March. And then in April, my well quit working. So it was producing next to nothing. So in the meantime, my mom had gotten cancer, and we did hospice at home, and she passed. And I saw God work in her life when she was going through the suffering, and I saw his grace increase in her life, and it was very, it was undeniable. So one day, I grew up in church, and I believed in God, but I wasn't really living for him. And I believe the Spirit told me one day, he confronted me, and he said, "You know, you believe in me, but you are not living for me." And I felt like he put an ultimatum at that time in my life. Are you going to live for me, or are you going to do it for yourself? Are you going to live for the world? Are you going to be on the Titanic, or are you going to get my ark? So I'm like, okay, Lord, I believe you're speaking to me. So I tried to start changing my life and living for God, going back to church and stuff. And then my mom passed away, and I had she didn't have a lot, but I got a little bit of cash from her. So then I didn't have water. I'd been hauling it from the high school all the way up the hill for a year and a half or more. And I actually drilled two wells, and I paid for those cash. So I had enough money left to what I figured was to buy the pipe, the wire, and everything I needed to put a pump in these wells and have water again. So, and at that time, I felt God, the Holy Spirit, tell me to give that money to the church. And I was like, yeah, I need water. I got a wife and a son. I don't know if you ever try to do laundry without water, but it's difficult. And anyway, so for about 2 weeks, I wrestled with that. And I was like, okay, God, I'll give the money to the church. And I did. I was going to the Nazarene church at that time. And about a week later, my well came back. And, you know, I had some people come up and do the dowsing and stuff, and I don't like to call it witching, but so they found the other well, but they said, this well is no good. You know, this will never be good. So it came back in August, which is not a normal month for a well to come back. So anyway, people would ask me, well, how much do you get now? I said, I don't really know. I never checked it, but my tank was always full. And when I have times in my life where I think I might get down or, you know, God's not going to come through in this or things are going to get bad, then he'll remind me I was faithful that day. And I can't deny it. I mean, he was, and I appreciate that. So
let's celebrate.
Let's celebrate God's faithfulness. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we are in you, that in you we are totally safe, totally redeemed. No one can take us from your hands, Lord. We are like supermen on this planet, Lord. Nobody can do anything to us that you would not allow. You love us. You care for us. You provide. When we step out in faith, you prove your faithfulness, Lord. So I just pray for everyone here as they take this communion, that they would just think about where they are in their life, what God would have them to do, and they would lean on your faithfulness, Lord. We just thank you and praise you. Amen.
From Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away. There's no longer any sea, and I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death, no longer any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away." And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes will inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." The last 2 weeks, I have interacted with three people in hospice situations. It's hard. One of them, we all know, and he is experiencing the reality right now that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he's also having unspeakable joy in the presence of the one that we read about in Revelation 21, who wipes away every tear, who takes away all sorrow, all suffering, and all pain. And he has a deeper understanding of what I pray we all have a deeper understanding of when Paul wrote that to live is Christ and to die is gain. So So many of you know, some of you don't know, that Bill Vann went on to be with the Lord. I believe it was Tuesday, early Tuesday morning. So some of you have known Bill a whole heck of a lot longer than I have. I got to know him because I got to work with him over at Sandy Bluffs for a while. And one of the things that I am really excited about is back then we would talk about God. And of course, Bill looked at God through cowboy lens. A lot of us look through God through cowboy lens, maybe not as much as Bill did. But it was kind of like the idea that I do my part, God does his part. Well, one of the things that I've really enjoyed over the past several years and building a friendship with Bill is that he has a much deeper understanding of God's grace. And he was able to rest in the reality of God's grace as he made that transition from this time-space continuum into eternity, into his presence. So as hard as it is to mourn loss and to come to grips with the reality of having, well, at least for a little while, a relationship severed with a good friend of ours, one of the things that we can, of course, celebrate and rejoice in is the fact that he is in the absolute absence of evil right now. And for those of us that have friends, have family members, and there's a few in here right now that you have some folks that they are facing their mortality right now, that there's the comfort, there's the solace, there's the encouragement that we can give to one another. Again, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord and to live as Christ and to die as gain. Now, like the rest of us, Bill had some quirks and some idiosyncrasies, some ways of looking at life, and Bill doesn't want to have a memorial service. That's his wishes, and so we're going to respect his wishes. I never thought of Bill as being a technologically savvy guy, but there is a Facebook page that if you want to pay tribute to Bill, you can go to that Facebook page, or if you have absolutely no idea how to navigate Facebook, find one of these teenagers in this room right here. Actually, most of them are on Instagram. Maybe find a 20 to 30-something, and they'll help you navigate Facebook, and you can go to that site, and you can leave a tribute for him. I'm sure that Jody would be fine with people sending her a text. Or even, hey, here's an idea, a written letter. There's a lost art form, if you would like to do that, too. So be praying for the family, as I know everybody is. And again, we just have another reason to celebrate because we don't trust in that which is temporal. We trust in he that is eternal. Oh.